Well, good evening. This topic has been in the works for a number of months. It kind of got delayed with my schedule and some of the other things that came up. And so it is just coincidental that we're having an education topic on the first day of school, but maybe that's appropriate. I saw a picture of a school marquee sign on Facebook recently, and it said something like, you know, August 15th, first day of school, and it said, "Resistance is futile. You will be educated." So hopefully that's not the feeling that you students have as you start a new school year. And hopefully good things are happening in the classroom, wherever that is for you. Because I do think that education is a privilege, and it is valuable. A number of months ago, when Benji asked me to have this topic, he was kind of buttering me up and saying, "Well, you know, you've been educated, but you still get your hands dirty, so that's just the perfect combination that we need for this topic." And I'm not sure that really qualifies me to speak on education. I'm not a professional educator, I guess. It's true that I did put in a good deal of time and effort at Hutchinson Community College, and have several 2-year degrees. Since that time, I've worked on the ambulance in a professional medical setting for about the last 12 years. And I would have to say that obviously what I learned in the classroom was essential to preparing me for the work I do on the ambulance, but a tremendous amount of learning and education has happened as I work and encounter new situations and see what works well and what doesn't. And as Benji alluded to, I do still get my hands dirty on the farm raising hogs. And in the case of my farming ventures, most of my education has come through trial and error and whatever I can learn through reading and research and talking with people who have more experience and are smarter than me. Just as kind of a side note, I wish that some of my education that I've gained in my farming ventures would have only cost me about what I spent on tuition in college. Unfortunately, some of my mistakes have cost me quite a bit more than that. Well, enough of that. Getting back to this idea of there being a balance between being educated and getting your hands dirty, I think that is a tension that, or a cultural value that's very important to us that we've grown up with. We really believe that education should be worth something. I think we've probably heard stories, or maybe we've had personal interaction with people who were kind of what we would consider kind of educated beyond their usefulness. We really believe it needs to be practical. And at work, we have kind of a saying that we've seen a lot of people with master's degrees really mess things up. And there's some truth to that just because you've spent a lot of years in school doesn't mean that you're able to function well in the world. I think, you know, at the outset, it's good to just acknowledge that there are some dangers, some pitfalls in education. Stephen Brubaker likes to say this, and he may be quoting someone else, but he says, education is dangerous, and the lack of it is even more so. I've also heard that education is expensive, but wait till you see the price of ignorance. Kind of the same idea. Education can be very disruptive to our sense of what the world's like. It can challenge some of our assumptions and beliefs about the way things are. And that can be good or bad. None of us have just a whole complete picture of what truth is. But sometimes our sense of what truth is can be challenged by a better picture or a less accurate picture. And so, it can be dangerous, but it can be dangerous also to just be stuck in our assumptions. Stephen Brubaker also likes to say, and I think he's quoting as well, that without a gentle contempt for education, no man's education is complete. So kind of the idea that there's a need for some humility and some understanding of the limits of amassing knowledge. That idea. Education is important, but there's other things we need as well. So knowledge is helpful and needful, but we also need understanding, which we might think of as discernment, or the ability to kind of sift through and filter the different information we're receiving and make some sense of it. And we need wisdom as well, which is more than just knowledge and understanding. And I think it's developed by a lifetime of experiences of making good choices and of walking with God and learning to follow His ways. So when we talk about education, what exactly are we referring to? And here's some definitions. One is the act or process of imparting or acquiring general knowledge, developing the powers of reasoning and judgment, and generally of preparing oneself or others intellectually for mature life. Or you could say it's the act or process of imparting or acquiring particular knowledge or skills as for a profession. Kind of the way we often think of it as a degree level or kind of schooling, a university education, higher education. Or it might be the result produced by instruction, training, or study. I thought, that kind of gets at it from a couple different angles, but maybe as Christians, that definition is a little too narrow. So here is a definition I'd like you to propose. I'd like to propose and then invite you to maybe help me work on it a little bit and comment on it. This is pretty idealistic, but I would suggest that education should be the process of developing and disciplining our minds, our hearts, our emotions, and our physical body to maximize our usefulness as humble servants in God's kingdom. I'll just read that again. The process of developing and disciplining our minds, our hearts, our emotions, and our physical body to maximize our usefulness as humble servants in God's kingdom. Do you have any comments, or are there other things you think of that we should maybe put under this definition of education? No, absolutely not. And what I'm kind of hoping we can get at this evening is giving us a broad vision for how learning can happen in a lot of different areas and ways. Nathan.
Well, And as I think you're aware, we talked about it being intentional, that if you're exploring the school or the people you work alongside of, you will be educated. Those who decide not to be are also shaped by their own circumstances.
It's very true. Good, Laverne. Okay. The process of developing and disciplining our minds, our hearts, our emotions, and our physical body to maximize our usefulness as humble servants in God's kingdom. And I think too often we kind of think of education as being intellectual and just a realm of the mind, but we are whole people, we're complete people, and there's and every aspect of our being needs to be developed and surrendered to God. Maybe that's enough on that. I would really like for this evening to be a time of reflection and vision building about what are some of the important goals in our pursuit of learning. You know, realizing that it's not just limited to formal classroom instruction. That's a part of it, but it's much bigger than that. And just encouraging us to pursue this lifelong process of learning more about God and the world that he loves and has designed so intricately and perfectly. And in addition to learning and gaining that knowledge, going on and developing the gifts, the talents, and the aptitudes that God's given us into the skills that he'd want us to have, the skills that will be useful in the kingdom. And so I hope that you'll feel free to join in the discussion, to add to this time. I know that many of you have thought about some of these things and have some good insights to share. So to start off with, maybe we'll just kind of apply the what's called the journalist's questions to the topic of education. You know, who, what, when, where, why, and how. We're not going to get all of those. The who is all of us. All of us need to learn. And we're going to mostly talk tonight about the why. Why should we care about education and what? What should we be learning? What should we be working towards learning? The how is a big subject. Maybe the committee can give that job to someone else. I'm just going to kind of set that aside. So the first part of the evening, we're going to talk about why, and then we'll get to the what. The why, I'm going to propose there's I thought of three reasons, but I'm sure you can think of others. And basically, they are that we start out foolish. God is great and all-knowing, and that we need to be developed for God's service. So those are kind of three areas I want to touch on briefly. First off, kind of man's foolishness. We recognize that we come into the world pretty much a raw product, not a lot of refinement. And this is a crude illustration, but maybe it helps us a little bit. It's kind of like we come into the world like a machine that has all the hardware and all the parts to fulfill a purpose, but there's no software or no controller telling it what to do. In other words, we need intelligent input to be able to reach our full potential. And we picked that up in a lot of different ways. This process just seems kind of automatic, the way that we learn things. A lot of times we learn the wrong things as well. But maybe what's a little different than the idea of a machine that just needs software written for it is we come into the world with some defects right from the start. We have a fallen nature, a sin nature, and we're proud, and we believe that we know more than we do. Most of the time, we don't know what we don't know, and we think we know more than we do. So I think a key part of what education should do for us is help us understand what we don't know, and hopefully that creates a little bit of humility in us. I know when I went to college, somebody told me that, well, the reason you go to college is to figure out how much you don't know, and then you can be educated. There's many scriptures we could turn to that touch on this tendency of man's foolishness and pride. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 26:16, I think the writer was being a little ironic here. So the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that could render a reason. Jeremiah 4:22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So there's a number of things being addressed in Scripture. One is just our own stubbornness and foolishness. The other is that there's a lot of wisdom out there that's not from God, and Satan's spreading ideas as well, and we tend to pick those up pretty quickly. I think it's pretty easy to look at our babies as cute and cuddly, and they are, but as parents, it's important for us to remember that they come into the world with a fully functioning sense of rebellion, and we have to be dealing with those foolish tendencies from a very young age. It's not going to get any better. And for us older ones, it's important to recognize our own tendencies towards foolishness and our own tendencies towards straying away from God's truth. And so we need to be willing to keep learning and pursuing truth. So that's one reason I think of why education is important. Another one is the fact that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Isaiah 40:13-14, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Daniel 2:22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth on him, with him. Acts 15:8, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. That's pretty comprehensive. God knows everything. He knows everything he's done with the created world. The full body of knowledge in the world dwells within him. And I think that that part of worshiping God is learning about the world that He's created. In any field in which we take time to study and dig deeper, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Medicine, biology, astronomy, engineering, agriculture, linguistics, mathematics, geology, physics, nutrition, music, whatever field of study you undertake, the more in depth you go, the more you realize the intelligence with which the world is put together, with which things are created, how things work in harmony. And even today, even in a fallen world that is wearing out, these things still operate remarkably well. So I think learning and education is part of knowing and worshiping God. And probably a big thing that I think of is just enhancing our usefulness to God's kingdom, to fully develop into the person that God wants us to be. I think that Satan tries to get us a couple different ways. One is by trying to make us believe the lie that you can't do it. Who do you think you are? Why are you trying to get better? You'll never make it. The idea that I'm not adequate. What's the point of trying to accomplish things or to learn and grow? And I think Satan is happy if he can keep us mired in defeat, discouragement, laziness, mediocrity. Well, why do I want to try? I'm not any good at that. And kind of beating us down that way. The other lie, maybe, and I'm sure there's others, but these are two I thought of. The other lie is the idea that you can be anything you want to be. And all that it takes is education, hard work, and you can have the life that you want to be, the life that you want to have. And so if Satan can get us to chase education as a means to power or prestige, wealth or success, I think he's happy to get us off track that way. But I think where we ought to live is that God has created you and me with gifts and aptitudes. And it takes time and hard work to identify what those things are, and it takes discipline to develop those skills in ways that are useful. I believe that each of us have unique strengths that we can bring to the church, bring to the kingdom, skills that we can use to serve God. At the same time, it's not just about specialization and, you know, I'm the hand, so that's the only thing I can do, or that idea. So your gift may be working with children, but if the need right now, today, is someone needs to visit an elderly person and bring them some cheer, we need to be flexible and available to do that and not say, no, my gift is children's ministry, that's what I do. Or if your specialty is electrical work, but Hands of Christ needs an emergency plumbing repair done, maybe we need to, you know, break out the how-to books or call someone that can talk us through it and meet that need. Or maybe we think our niche is leading singing, but what we really need is someone to teach Sunday school this Sunday. You get the idea. It is important to work at developing our gifts, but and understanding what are some of the things that God's given me to do that I'm good at. but at the same time, be open to doing things that aren't just our natural fit that we think of. Be willing to exercising some of those other gifts. Okay, I've been talking too much. So what are some comments you have about anything we've covered, or some ideas of why education is important, or why do you think it's worth putting time, energy, and money into? And that wasn't the first thing you did when you were 18 either, right? I think sometimes it takes some time to understand what that is and then seek training. Good. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I think that, like, especially when I was talking about just learning about how the world works, if we want to study something like astronomy or geology, there may not be any big, immediate, practical gain to us, but we can... we can gain an appreciation for how God has created things, and we can share that knowledge with others too.
One of the things I think of, maybe I'll just stand up, in relation to that idea is, I remember fielding questions like, how is this algebraic equation going to make me a better person? How am I ever going to use this knowledge? Well, quite frankly, some of those people, some of my students, probably won't ever really use that knowledge to do very many algebraic equations. How I preferred to answer that is the process of learning that shapes your mind in ways that nothing else really can. And I think education as a whole does that kind of thing for us. It's the process of disciplining our minds, like Arlen was talking about, does shape the way we approach other questions, questions that do impact our everyday lives.
That's a great point, Daryl, because science has learned that a lot of what happens in our brains is that there's a lot of raw potential, and we have a lot of capacity to store information, but we have a hard time building connections between different pieces of information and recalling those things. And actually, sometimes being disciplined and studying one subject develops mental processes that help us think and analyze and understand unrelated subjects. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I'd just like to also key in on the algebra example. Well, I happen to have been one like your grandfather who just liked that kind of thing. And he didn't get to develop it as much in the formal setting. But one time when I was in student teaching, I was handed by this algebra teacher at Nickerson High, I was handed this paragraph that took up about half a page describing how that the monkey was up in the tree and that half of the leg of the monkey was equal to the length of the limb and the rope that hung and so on and so forth. And finally the question Well, I took this paper down to Yoder, and he didn't use the same letters and such that I did. But the next week he came back and said 5¾ inches.
There you go.
I was heard of a gentleman recently when I heard that David Rousseau attended one of our churches. He was impressed and not very positive impressed with how much the message seemed to reflect Protestant thinking. Raised this concern that we are in the midst of a lot of Protestant influence. Be shaped on a different life. And I think that learning whether you're in school or not is a lifetime experience. And at this age of instant communication, it's maybe that more that way than it's ever been. I would just point out that a really good way to learn is to read selectively.
Gary had a comment.
Of a product. And so I'm telling you that this is one another example. This is a time I personally used what I was reading about and learning to apply in storytelling.
And I think what you're maybe alluding to there is different people solve problems differently. Some may do more hands-on and laying things out and like visually seeing it, and others are able to more abstractly use formulas and drawings to think of things. Well, this is helpful. Maybe we'll move on to... Go ahead. John. effectiveness.
Is that the kingdom?
I think that should be a high goal.
Okay. I agree.
Go ahead.
And I feel sometimes that as we value effectiveness, we might forget that God's value on us isn't measured by our effectiveness, but rather our obedience. And so,
okay,
we don't want to get his value of us and our effectiveness in the kingdom mixed up.
So, let me maybe rephrase. And you're saying that our worth to God isn't determined by our output necessarily, okay? And I'm sure you agree that excellence is a goal to strive for, and that's what I want to encourage us, because it is very discouraging to be stuck in a sense that your worth is tied up in what you can produce and what you can do. That's good. But and realize that excellence and doing the best we can and learning what to do better is our goal, and that's our ideal that we're striving for. But it's a process, and so there's probably a balance between having some patience with ourselves and not just sliding into a mediocre existence. Ollie.
My dad liked math, and I like math.
Uh-huh.
But there are some things that my dad taught me that were more important than math. One of those was, I have to think of it when David spoke a while ago, about things that occur, things that happen through life. And one of the things that he used to teach us, if we're falsely accused, be glad it's false. If it's not false, do something about it. Jesus was often falsely accused. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that, Ollie. That's an example of wisdom being passed down from parents to children. So what are some of the things that we should be focusing on learning and developing? I'd like to propose that that Luke 10:27 might be a model that we could use. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I think we can use this as a model as we think about how to teach our children and how we continue to grow. I think that as we discipline ourselves to learn and grow, that's part of loving and serving God. And so I'm going to talk about these different areas a little bit. Heart, soul, strength, mind, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And I've written down some of the goals that I have for my children, ways in which I want to see them grow and develop. There's a lot of idealism here, and that's just what you get when you give a topic like this to a young parent who doesn't know how all this stuff works. But these are things that I think we should strive for, at least things that I'm trying to strive for. The heart. Romans says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." I think a key part of belief happens in the heart. I want my children to be able to wrestle with their questions about truth thoroughly, but ultimately come to a place of belief in God's love and goodness. And what I'm kind of getting at here is learning truth and embracing it. It's not, we don't get there 100% through logic and through the mind. There's a part of our heart and soul that needs to embrace and embrace truth and choose to believe. I think it's important for parents and teachers and pastors to present truth to the best of our ability, but to give our children some space to ask questions about things that maybe seem contradictory and don't make sense. I think honesty about our own questions, about our own journey, is important as well. And I think what all of us want to do is model a heart that trusts God and cares about the things that God cares about. And this process of coming to belief and faith in Jesus is not a sure thing. And it can't be managed with a heavy hand. And so because of that, we can seem kind of out of control. And we can't control that process entirely. Anything other than a choice is not going to lead to true faith. Talking about our soul, I think it's so important for children to learn self-control, to learn the rewards of delayed gratification, to not just follow every impulse that they have. I want my children to learn healthy emotional responses to life, to be able to feel and enter into to pain and injustice around them, to get some sense of how God feels about the brokenness in the world, and to learn how to rejoice in the power of God's redemption, to be able to enter into that. I want them to develop discernment, to develop a spirit of communication with God that helps them sort out the facts about a situation and discern what's true about it. Some of that stuff happens, I think, on a soul level, not just in the mind. When you think about developing the mind, excellent study skills, how to learn to read well, how to read well, how to take good notes during a lecture or presentation, how to do good research and evaluate the credibility of sources that you're researching, that you're reading, the ability to write clearly and concisely, to learn how to construct paragraphs that can communicate their thoughts to others, a good oral communication skills, the ability to put together an outline to organize their thoughts, to be able to present them to others in an effective way. I want them to have a good working knowledge of human history, how the events of civilizations rising and falling, how that shows us how God's worked in the world. History is God's story. He's at the center of it. Of course, essential to this, this should be a central part of our education is a working knowledge of the scriptures, the centrality of Jesus Christ, the simplicity of the gospel, and how following Jesus' way of love is far more powerful than Satan's way of hate, coercion, and violence. I want my children to have a basic understanding of major worldviews and philosophies and how to recognize those ideas in art, music, books, magazines, newspaper articles, things like that. Loving God with all our strength. I'm using this in the sense of our physical body. I want my children to develop physical skills, basic and more refined. I want my sons to understand basic carpentry, electrical work, plumbing, welding, roofing, small engine and auto repair, at least the basics. I want my children to understand where their food comes from, to understand basics of food production, how to tend to fruits and vegetables, how to butcher chickens, can and preserve food, things like that. And I want my children to learn how to repurpose and recycle things, how to use things that that other people throw away, how to live without electricity for an extended period of time, just kind of basic survival skills, practical things. Loving your neighbor as yourself. I want my children to have a genuine desire to learn about other cultures, to be willing to spend time learning about other people, far away and close by, people that they have a chance to interact with, and maybe understand what are some of the things that have influenced them and shaped them and some of the reasons they live the way they do now. And then have the ability to build relationships with people that are different than themselves, to be able to kind of step outside their world that they understand everything about and bridge that gap to others and share God's love with them. And to learn how to really serve and help people without having a rescuer or savior mentality and creating unhealthy dependencies. So we haven't quite got all of these accomplished with Theo yet, but we are working on them. No, seriously, what are some things that you think are important that you desire for your children to learn and are important to you? What are some values that you have in education? And maybe what are some things that you think us as a church community should be working at trying to promote? This is your time.
Not to ask anybody who's doing well with any of the others, whatever, just asking, but is there room for this?
Mm-hmm. Leroy, you had a comment?
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's both aspects.
Yeah.
Sometimes you forget that one about life.
like that. And I think what you're getting at is education should spark that curiosity in the world and the idea of I want to learn and I want to discover and create some of that self-motivation for children to have a curiosity about things. And hopefully that's a life... Right, yeah.
Because part of what I think of, a well-educated person is someone who has a child like me, never lost the wonder, or at least regained the wonder.
Yeah. And probably different children have a little different dose of it, too. So maybe the fan needs to be flamed in some, and others just need to be guided a little bit in the way. Good. Arlen.
Mm-hmm. Obviously not everything.
Yeah.
Find one or two areas that we can drop in deep like we have resources. Classic case, this Friday we have Joey and Andrew coming in to school to talk about butterfly.
Uh-huh. I think there was a comment over here. Miriam. That's helpful. Dad. Yeah, absolutely. David.
Right.
Yes, there's many, many ways to learn. Reading and observation. Very good. Thank you very much for your discussion.